broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday, December the 28th, 2023, 14 minutes past the hour. The year is almost over, and what a big morning we have this morning here on WGH Talk. We will be joined in hour number two this morning by Mayor Scott Schertzer, who only has 4 days left in his 16-year term as mayor, and this morning we will find out how he will handle and also get his take on the city council meeting that happened last Tuesday evening, December 19th, in which pay raises were voted for the mayor, law director, auditor, city council, and treasurer here in Marion. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I haven't seen it anywhere else, this is the first time Mayor Schertzer has talked about this. And when we spoke to Mayor Schertzer last, which was the morning of December 19th, he was not sure yet if he was going to veto these pay raises. Now, a lot of this had to do with the cash flow problems that we have learned in the last month that exist in the city of Marion. It's an interesting subject, and clearly it's an interesting subject to people because we had wall-to-wall calls yesterday and even people calling when we went off the air who wanted to discuss this subject. Now, when it comes to the mayor, the incoming mayor, Bill Collins, the pay raise was voted in for $90,000. But how it happened is what seems to be the problem. And City Councilman Jason Schauber brought this up, that what happened was that it was supposed to be $110,000. Jason said, that's too much. Let's make it $80,000. Then I think Mike Neff said, let's make it $95,000. And then they got to $90,000. Well, things on city council have to have 3 readings to pass, unless the rules are suspended. Well, what happened last Tuesday night, and again, I was not at the meeting, but it's my understanding that what happened last Tuesday night was that the rules were voted on to be suspended, but they were not suspended. But then somehow, the pay raise was voted in anyway. So I'm not sure how that happened. I'm not even sure if that can happen. Apparently it can, but that's why there's so much talk about this. Now the law director's raise passed, the auditor's raise passed, and also raises for city council and the treasurer passed. Now, what we've come to find out about the raises for the city council and the treasurer is that the date was never changed in the legislation, so those raises will not take effect until 2026 when the next council comes in. Not the council that's coming in on the 1st, but the council after that. So that's a little bit down the road, about 2 years down the road. So I don't know what will happen today because the mayor, Mayor Schertzer, still does have the power of veto, as he explained to us, pocket veto, line item veto, outright veto, which he could do, but we have not heard that he will do that as of yet. But we'll learn this morning what will happen. Now, the phone lines are open here at the studio if you have anything to say. Give us a buzz. We'd love to hear from you. We had great conversation yesterday about this, and I think it's worth having because this is the city that people live in. It's what we talk about. It's where the studio is here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you this morning. And again, Mayor Schertzer will be on with us this morning, live from 9:15 until 10 a.m. in what I assume will either be his last or one of his last media appearances, with only 4 days left to go in office. But we had a great, great conversation about this yesterday and had several people call in. And I wonder, have any minds been changed? Has anything changed since yesterday? Does anybody feel any differently about this, or does anybody have a thought on this? It seemed to me, and I'm going back on memory here, it seemed to me as if everybody yesterday felt that the pay raises should not go through. I don't remember anybody calling yesterday who said they felt that the pay raises should happen. Now, I think a lot of this probably has to do with the fact that we found out that the city has a cash flow problem. I think that's the reasoning. But if I'm wrong, people can point it out to me. So again, the phone lines are open here today, 740-383-9944. We also talked yesterday about the fact that it's hard to get news out to people now. The Marion Star is at an interesting place right now, is in an interesting place right now, in which I don't think they have a reporter, so nobody's really reporting on local news, and I don't know that any of the other radio stations in town at this point are really reporting on local news either. So, you know, this is where we are. It's a bit of a news vacuum at the end of 2023 here. Hopefully it will get better, and we'll see what happens, but I guess this is where we're at this point. But do you have any problem with these raises in the city right now? And where do we go from here? Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. We had some great conversation yesterday in regard to this, and hopefully we'll continue to have conversation about this morning up until the mayor comes in at 9:15. Now, as I say, yesterday we went right up until 10 o'clock the entire 2 hours, and people were still trying to get in yesterday to voice their opinion. So that's what it is, and that's the conversation we'll have this morning, and we'll find out where we go from here in the city of Marion. So I don't know. Here's an interesting thing that I learned yesterday. I was fascinated by this. I learned yesterday that Taylor Swift, we've talked so much about Taylor Swift, people are probably becoming blue in the face. But I learned yesterday that Taylor Swift has tied Elvis Presley for the most weeks at number one on the Billboard 200. Taylor Swift has done this. And in her 30s, I don't think there's any doubt that she is going to surpass Elvis Presley if she has one more week at number one on the Billboard 200 charts. Now, we've talked a lot about Taylor Swift and should she have been Time Magazine's Person of the Year, and do we pay too much attention to her, and is this just pop culture, and you know, I'm starting, I don't have any Taylor Swift music at home. I can't say that I listen to her music. I can't say that I know a whole lot about her. I can't say I've ever watched a football game that she was at. But for whatever reason, she has become a juggernaut in the world of entertainment, to where she is now tied with Elvis Presley for most weeks at number one on the Billboard 200 chart. Most weeks at number one. Does this shock anybody? Now, the Beatles still hold the record at number one. The Beatles do still hold the record at number one. The Beatles have 132 weeks at number one, which I was thinking last night, isn't that fascinating? That the Beatles, who were together for a very short amount of time in the grand scheme of things, I don't even think the Beatles were together 10 years, that they hold the record for most weeks at number one on the Billboard 200 charts. 132. Right now, Elvis and Taylor Swift are tied with 67. Really, roughly about half of what the Beatles had. Is anybody surprised at the popularity of Taylor Swift? Does anybody get why she's so popular? I'd be interested to know. And is it shocking to anybody that she is about to pass Elvis or has tied Elvis for this spot? Give me a buzz here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Is anybody surprised or shocked that this has happened with Taylor Swift? You really cannot get away from her right now. She's on the cover of most magazines. Her stuff is sold in all the stores. She's covered by virtually all the television shows. People love to follow her relationship with the football player, Travis Kelce. I don't know. To me, it's all fascinating. And I'm starting to believe that there is something very unique about this girl that maybe we do not understand. And I think probably most people in an older age category would not get the popularity of Taylor Swift, but it's certainly undeniable that she has done amazing things and is breaking records that have been around for over 40 years. What is it about her that allows this to happen? Because I will say this, I don't necessarily understand why it's happening, but I don't think at this point you can deny that it's happening. So again, phone lines are open here this morning, 740-383-9944. If you are an aficionado of music or anything in general in that particular field, you would have to have an opinion on this. Because this is a record set by Elvis Presley. That is one of those iconic names, Elvis Presley. And now that record is about to be broken by Taylor Swift, of all people. Am I the only one who is surprised by this? Because I think by all accounts, Taylor Swift has a long career left to go. But maybe people are not shocked by it. Maybe people think that's what normally should and would happen. I don't know. I was shocked. And again, phone lines are open if you want to talk about what's going on in the city or you'd like to talk about this whole Taylor Swift thing. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Okay, what else is going on here? Well, I saw a story yesterday that I find a little, it's a lot unfortunate. I don't know how many of you remember Shannon Doherty. Now, I believe she was one of the big stars of Beverly Hills 90210, and I believe she was also on the TV show Charmed. Now, right now she's going through cancer treatments. I believe she has stage 4 brain cancer at this point. But she is doing a podcast. We're getting a call here. Let's take the phone call. Okay. Go ahead, caller.
Morning, Scott.
Good morning.
I wanted to encourage people, if they're interested in hearing what actually transpired at the council meeting on the 19th, or any number of council meetings, they can go to the YouTube channel for the City of Marion, Ohio. And I actually took the time out to listen to the meeting from the 19th, and it was a little bit enlightening, I guess you could say.
Well, fill us in. What happened that caught your attention?
Well, it does appear as was stated on your program by Councilman Schauber and Mayor Schertzer, that there were procedural deficits in the way that they suspended and then proceeded with the vote on that particular legislation for the mayor's salary. Now, what's interesting to me is I re-listened to the interview you did with Councilman Schauber, and he stated that Mayor-elect Collins was annoyed or perturbed that Schauber offered the amendment. Do you recall that?
Yeah, I do remember. I can't remember what Jason said, but it was something to the effect that, what did he say? That Mayor Collins was not happy that, was it that Jason didn't vote that way, or that, was it something to that effect?
I think it was that he wanted to reduce it from the six-figure amount down to 80. That's what I recall. Is that...
I know there was some conflict there, but I don't remember exactly what the conflict was. But I do remember Jason saying that he was not going to be intimidated.
So the implication there is interesting, because if it doesn't pass now, then it will not impact the mayor-elect's first term, right?
So what you're saying, if it passes now, it won't impact his first term.
It would impact.
Oh, yes. Yes, it would. Yes.
So then by him doing that amendment, and then if there's any opposition right now, then he foreseeably wouldn't benefit if it didn't go through before the end of this calendar year.
Yeah. If it had been voted down at city council or the mayor would veto it, it would not happen.
So then if something is said by the mayor-elect to Councilman Schauber, if that is true, if that did occur, then I think it lends a lot of support to, you know, you guys need to pass this for me, you know?
Well, did you see anything like that in the video? Was there, did anybody...
The visual stream was blacked out. I don't know if that's how all of them were. It was just audio. So you could just hear the roll calls and the discussions.
So did Mayor-elect Collins speak at all?
He did. He did. I don't recall hearing anything, you know, regarding that matter exactly. As far as like you know, pressuring or anything like that, or I don't recall hearing anything like that. But yeah, that is interesting. And you know, from my perspective, if somebody runs for a position knowing what the compensation is, shouldn't you be content with that, at least for your first term?
Well, I think this is belying another point that has come up over time. And one of the reasons, it's my understanding, that this vote was pushed back to December was, are they giving this raise to a position, and maybe this is why the mayor's salary has become such a contention point, are they giving it to a position, or are they doing it for a person? Now, when I asked Bill Collins about the raise many months ago, his answer was, look at what surrounding counties are making, do your homework, and, you know, that was kind of his answer. I don't know. How do you feel about the whole Bill Collins situation as far as what Jason Schauber has said and other people have said as well?
Well, if that is true, you know, where there have been statements, I guess, trying to pressure in order to pass this, which is going to impact, you know, compensation for the incumbent's first term, then that's questionable. I know I asked the question as far as what the origin was, and it looks like that legislation, that ordinance, would have originated at committee, at the Finance Committee, which Jason Schauber is a member of, or I think even the chair of. Is that correct?
Yes, yes, I believe so.
And then what, Gerritsen and Rollins are on there as well?
I think so.
So what I found interesting, at least just listening to the audio portion of the council meeting was from the 19th, was when Schauber proposed his amendment to reduce the amount, then they went to, I believe, Councilman Neff, and Neff stated, well, we got the information for the salaries from the Ohio Municipal League, and we looked at 102 salaries, and the cities that were quoted were Lorain, Canton, and Parma. You know, completely different demographically as far as population goes, and obviously they were referencing the other 102. But my question, and I think an appropriate question or position for anybody in the city of Marion, would be, out of those 102 cities that were referenced, how many of them have incurred IRS penalties? How many of them have lost their bond rating? How many of them have a cash flow problem?
Well, and I think that's the interesting thing that we're going to learn from Mayor Schertzer this morning, because I think, I, and again, I can't read anybody's mind, but I would guess that if things were okay in Marion, if you didn't have an auditor about to resign, if you didn't have 4 years of problems with the auditor, two auditors, if you didn't have a cash flow problem that you recently found out about, if you hadn't lost your bond rating, if you weren't selling off investments, if all that had not happened, this probably would not be looked at as such a big deal, even if people did think it was a very big raise.
Right.
But because of that, I think that's what makes it such a big issue. And also the fact, because I know Mayor Schertzer, because he said it on the show many times, is very big into procedurally doing things correctly, and has felt that at times council does not do that. And maybe it's because they just don't know how to do that. And in the case of the mayor's raise, as you said, by listening to the council meeting, maybe it wasn't done correctly. So that's also another point. Maybe this would not be such a big issue if it was done properly, but it has not been done properly. And I have learned that the law director at this point is not giving a ruling either way on it. Did the law director speak at that meeting?
Yes.
Well, what did he say?
As far as the suspension of the vote,
yeah,
he said, I highly encourage you to do it this way. And he didn't really, you know, go into a huge monologue or anything, but I do recall those words. I highly encourage you to proceed this way.
So if my understanding is right, and you can tell me by listening to this meeting, that when they voted to change the salary to $90,000, they voted to suspend the rules, which would get them down to one vote to vote it in, and they did not pass that suspension.
Right, and they couldn't bring up another motion to suspend since on that item because it had failed.
Right. So at the end of the meeting then, Ayers Ratliff brought it back up and they just voted on it. But the law director says, I encourage you to not do this if this way is that.
He said it before. As I recall,
already said
he
it.
Said it before they tried to suspend it again, saying that it can't be, that can't be done.
That can't be done.
Right.
But they did it anyway. So what was the reason for doing it? Did anybody say, hey,
no, I don't.
We're just going to do it anyway.
That's, as I recall, that was my impression, was that it was just, we're going to do it anyway. So, yeah, that was very interesting. And like I said, the other thing I would want to know, and I don't know if the Finance Committee meeting or, you know, minutes would have the information, but when... Who picked or who proposed the initial salary recommendations? We know that they referenced them from the Ohio Municipal League's list of, you know, 102 cities in the state of Ohio, but on that initial proposal, who picked, you know, what, 105,000?
I think it was 110 to start with.
110,000?
Yeah.
And then all these other positions, you know, these huge increases from what they're currently receiving. That's what I would want to know. And I remember hearing Councilman Ratliff state that, and I believe it's a quote, something to the effect of, behind the scenes, I was crucial in getting this pressed forward. So there was those preliminary discussions, and obviously there would have been, but who kind of picked that, or who decided, and what was the discussion on those original amounts, and then why did they change? So they come out of Finance Committee, they're proposed in Finance Committee, and then they change. That would be interesting to me.
Well, what I know on that particular subject is I know the initial legislation was proposed by Jason Schauber. I don't think he chose the amounts. I think
was it Neff then?
I can't lay it all on Neff because I'm not sure, but I do believe that council was pivotal in that. I don't think it was the Finance Committee itself.
Yeah, and the other thing that was, I don't know, kind of comical to me was the comment that, well, you know, 80's too low, and we're saying, like, I think they said, like, 83 or 85 is kind of what we're thinking as far as the figure. 110's too high, so it should be something between, like, 83 and 110, and that's how you got, like, the 95.
How did
throwing it up against the wall and saying, like, oh, yeah, this figure, like.
Well, how did we get, if Schauber said 80 and Neff said 95, how did we get to 90?
It probably went to another amendment. There was so many amendments that were going through, and then they have all these roll calls, you know, so if you're listening to it, and unless you're, you know, rewinding and taking notes, it gets a little bit confusing, but yeah, that's what happened, is, you know, just a lot of amendments, and then you have the suspensions thrown in there, so I think that's how it happened.
Well, I have a clue, because obviously you're somebody who pays attention to what's going on. You've listened to this meeting. Why do you think this was done this way? Now, clearly, one of the issues is, if they would have tried to have three more readings of that legislation for the mayor pay raise, it probably would not have happened before the first of the year. And if it doesn't happen before the first of the year, then it's not going to go into effect during the mayor's first term. So, I mean, is that what's behind all not doing this procedurally correctly?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, the other ultimate result is that everybody got a pay increase. Right?
They did. But I guess council and the treasurers will not take effect until 2026.
Right. You know, there's that. But, you know, it's kind of one of those things. It just doesn't look good. It doesn't look good when you have the city finances in disarray. A lot of questions that was brought up as far as in the interviews that were done on your program, then I think it was also mentioned, Mr. You know, Councilman Ratliff kind of went off on a little bit of a diatribe against the auditor and not getting valid information. And Councilman Schauber on your program, you know, said that he, for 2 month period, he didn't vote for anything because he didn't have reliable data and information from the auditor's office to go to operate under. If you don't have those, we still don't have that information, right?
My understanding, I have not been told otherwise.
So, again, I think the prudent thing to do would be to say, we need to get our house in order, figure out our finances, at least at a minimum that, figure out where we are, get the information, and then make decisions like this. So when you are trying to push things through at the end of the year, then there's questions, legitimate questions, as to why were you so adamant to do this, especially when you didn't follow proper procedure, you know?
Well, it is interesting, and this is an interesting thing to point out. If you go back in this whole saga, I guess at this point, if you go back to the very beginning, the reason this pay increase was proposed, the original thought behind it was, we need to get better candidates. Now, I know a lot of people don't agree with the idea that more money is going to bring you better candidates and that this is a good thing, but that is why it was originally proposed. And I think one of the problems that started this whole pay raise tumble was it wasn't supposed to happen until the next mayoral race. And when they moved it up to this one, we already knew who the candidates were. So the money certainly was not going to attract any better candidates because all the filing deadlines had already passed. So why are you moving it up 4 years? I think that was also a problem that a lot of people had with it. I think Jason Schauber said he had a problem with that. And I think the mayor did not really understand why that was happening.
Right. No, I mean, those are all very valid questions. But the biggest point, the elephant in the room, from my perspective, is when you don't have a proper accounting of your finances, or you don't have that information or that awareness, and we already know you lost your bond rating, you're liquidating investments, you have a cash flow problem. You shouldn't be doing these discretionary expenditures. You know, you should be taking a step back and figuring things out. And then when you know, I think Councilman Schauber had mentioned in the interview with you, he feels like council is a kid with a checkbook who hasn't balanced it, but just cashes checks hoping that they'll clear. Is that the way to run government? Is that the way to run your household? You certainly don't do that. I don't do that. We have to make sure that we run our houses properly, you know, so we don't get in trouble.
Now, I know you said yesterday your feeling was that the mayor should have a veto today. Do you believe all the increases should be vetoed or just the mayoral salary?
All of them, at least for the elected officials, and possibly, probably all of them, should be until you get the situation with the auditor's office under control. There's no question. It is like not knowing how much money you have in your bank account and you're cashing a check. That was a great analogy. And you're cashing a check hoping that it clears. So you don't do that. You know. And what's the critical need? Again, is time of the essence because we're trying to get this put in to where it will impact the next term for these officials, the ones that are incumbents that are moving in? Is that why we're breaking procedure and moving forward on it and trying to press it through at the very last minute? Is that the reason? Or would it be the best thing for the city, for the people of Marion, for the taxpayers, to say, let's figure out where we're at? We know we're not in a good position because we lost our bond rating. We know we're not in a good position because we're liquidating assets to pay these IRS penalties and fines. And we don't even know how many more are going to be on the horizon. Right, Scott?
Well, I think that is still a question. And I think also we don't know who the next auditor is going to be. We don't know what will happen when this auditor leaves. There's a lot of things up in the air. But I think ultimately one of the other things that is of extreme importance here is that the knowledge that if, and I think I'm right on this, didn't every council member vote on the pay raise except one vote for it?
For the mayor?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And the other, wasn't it pretty well a large majority?
It was, and Shoppers, I think it was a 4-4 tie. So then it went to the tie-breaking vote. And who's that, Schneider?
Yeah.
And he voted against it.
That was for the suspension of rules?
That was for, you know, voting on Schauber's amendment for like $80,000.
Oh, okay.
So, again, there were a lot of votes that were cast, but, you know, had that one. And I don't know if Mike Thomas would have been there, what, you know, what that would have done.
So the $80,000 amendment was voted down, and it went to the president of council. But the $90,000 was the $95,000 ever voted on?
Yeah, I believe it was.
And that was voted down as well.
The 95?
Yeah.
Yes, I think it was.
So then the 90 came up, and that was voted yes.
Yes.
But when they wanted to suspend the rules, it was no.
Because they had done that early on.
Okay, see, when they voted on Shoppers, is that?
Yes.
Okay, to suspend the rule.
I believe that's, like I said, it in the way they lead it, the tempo of it is pretty quick. I was kind of surprised at that, as far as Schneider does a pretty good job as far as his energy level. So then everything's just kind of moving on through, and they're voting, and they're doing these roll calls, and so things move pretty quickly. But I know that initial, because that's what I was interested in, was to see what that initial proposal or that initial amendment of 80,000, what the roll call was on that, and what the votes were on that. It was 4-4, so then it goes to a tiebreaker.
So it was never, the suspension of rules was never voted on for the 90,000.
I think they can only do it for that ordinance one time.
Right. So that never so how I get, okay, here's, I guess, what I don't understand on the whole, and I haven't understood this since Jason was in here last week. If they voted to suspend the rules, it went down because of the $80,000 amount, or I guess that would have to be it, knowing what happened later on in the meeting. If that's what happened, then when they voted on the 90,000, apparently they didn't even take a suspension of the rules. How do we decide that this legislation passed?
Well, I think that's the thing. They did do the suspension, and I think they were advised that they couldn't, because I think that suspension goes with the original suspension vote. And that original, what, $80,000?
Right, but that went down.
That went down.
So if they vote for $90,000, and they're looking,
that was a problem. They would have to have, they couldn't do it on a suspended vote basis.
So by what account do we believe that this passed if they didn't vote on the suspension? So it hasn't had three readings, and they didn't vote to suspend the three readings.
I think just based on the basis that they're saying that it did, even though I think procedurally it is deficient.
Did somebody stand up and say, what are we voting on? Why are we voting on this?
Not that I recall, no.
See, that's,
again, I encourage everybody, if they're interested in this, like, again, it's something that you're going to have to take notes on, because it does go back and forth, and there are many roll calls and everything. But check out the City of Marion, Ohio YouTube channel and listen. If you can't attend the council meeting in person, then this is a nice resource. I'm glad that they do this. You know, I wasn't aware of it. And again, I don't live in the city, so. But that's, even if you live in the county, that's where you go, you know. And if you're born and raised in Marion, you want the very best for the city, and I think you want to know what's going on, and fiscal standing in their budget is very important, because they can't do things and run the city if they don't have the money to do so. So check that out, you know, and look into this matter for yourself.
Well, it's fascinating. Were you surprised yesterday when we started this conversation that the calls in the second hour, I don't think anybody from my memory said, don't veto it. I think everybody wanted it not to happen.
Because I think that people deep down, they may not have a lot of awareness about the ins and outs of municipal government and what's going on, but they know how their households are run. They know that when they write a check, they know how much money is in the account, and they know that they have to live on a budget. So when they're looking at their elected officials, they're saying, well, you should be just like us, and we know that your situation is not sound. You can't even tell us what your situation is. So, again, I go back to, I think that was a very appropriate example by Councilman Schauber, that, you know, it feels like we're kids with our parents' checkbook and we don't know what the balance of the account is, and we're writing checks.
Well, you know, the interesting thing of this, and maybe it's just because there is a news vacuum at this point, but we're going to find out probably within the next half hour how this is all going to shake out. Do you think there are going to be repercussions either way from how the mayor handles this?
Well, as I came across, I wasn't aware of this, but did you know that Mayor Schertzer is running for U.S. House of Representatives for the 4th District?
You know, I didn't, and I'll tell you, I believe he said on air last week that he would not be a candidate for office in this upcoming year, but I could be wrong.
So he filed the statement of candidacy with the FEC, Federal Elections Commission, but he's now withdrawn that? That would be interesting, because if you're going to have a, you're going to have to look at the politics of that decision. You know, do you veto it and take a stand for what is right fiscally and for the finances, or do you not do anything? And, you know, if the implication of him doing nothing is that it passes, you know, then he can kind of, I think as you stated one time, if he does that, then he's not endorsing it. He's not signing off on it, but he's not, like, vetoing it.
You know, the thing, because I believe when the mayor was on, and I think you did listen to that interview, when he was explaining his four options for what to do, I believe it was pocket veto, line item veto, and just a straight-out veto, but he also said sign it into legislation. Now, I think, again, and I am not, well, I'll have to ask the mayor this, if he decides not to veto these things, does he have to sign them into legislation? Because if you, because then it comes back to how this is all presented. If you come back and say, I'm not going to veto this, but I completely disagree with it, but I'm going to sign it into law, or I'm going to sign it in to take effect. See, that's where I think there's a hitch in this, because if he believes it was done structurally wrong, knowing Mayor Schertzer for a long time, I would think he would have a hard time signing that just on the basis of knowing the procedure was not right.
Right, and that would be a justifiable reason. But again, even procedural things aside, the ultimate justifiable reason is that we do not have a proper accounting in the city of Marion. We lost our bond rating, and we have racked up and probably will continue to rack up substantial IRS fines and penalties. That doesn't bode well. So you're more than justified in vetoing it. I think that you should be required to. So we'll see what he does.
Well, it's going to be interesting, and I give the mayor a lot of credit for coming in here with 4 days left in his term to discuss what is going to be a serious decision, and I'm sure one he's given a lot of thought to, and basically, for all intents and purposes, making the announcement here, because I don't believe he's talked about this anywhere else at this point. I've talked to council members who say they don't know what he's going to do. So I guess we'll all find out together. Live on the show.
It'll be exciting, and thanks for what you do. And I again encourage everybody, check that out. You know, if you just want something to play in the background, again, if you're really interested, you gotta take notes to see what was said and how it gets kicked here and there. It's like a game of soccer, but this is all a critical part of any community. Is knowing what is going on and being actively involved and asking the questions respectfully, and that's all you can do.
So before you called in this, were we sounding good this morning?
Yeah, you sound great.
Want to make sure we're coming through loud and clear because we got the big interview. Hey, thanks for calling.
All right, Scott, you have a good one.
You too. All right. Well, there you go. And we're going to take a 15-minute break and come back with Mayor Schertzer, probably for the last time as mayor, momentarily. It's going to be an interesting hour, a lot to cover, and I thank everybody who's called in and had the discussion the last 2 days about this. I think it's very fascinating city government. And where we go from here, we'll find out in about 15 minutes. Don't you dare flip that dial. Stay with us.
You're listening to the place for the best guests and talk. From Joey Diori at WGN's Bozo the Clown.
Before we wrap up, I'll